Good morning. Thank you all for coming. Today's class in the beautiful Bhagavatam. By Sri Veda Vyasa. And today's verse is Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 8.
Is it 8?
Yeah, could everybody see the board?
Well, that makes a big difference, doesn't it? Sri Nardavacha, Bhavatanudita, Prayam, Yaso, Bhagavato, Valam, Inaivasho, Na Tusheta Manye Tad Darshanam Kilam Sri Nardavacha Bhavatanudita Prayam Yaso Bhagavato Malam Navasho na tushyate Manyeta darshanam kilam Sri Narada Vacha Bhavatanudita prayam Yaso bhagavato malam Navaso na tushyate Manyeta darshanam kilam Sri Narvacha Bhavatanudita prayam Yasho bhagavato malam Navaso na tusheta Manyeta darshanam kila
Manyeta darshanam kila
Sri Nadu Vacha
Bhavatanudita prayam
Yasho bhagavato malam
Yasaha,
glories.
Bhagavataha, of the personality of Godhead. Amalam,
spotless.
Jena,
by which.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Asso.
He.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Na.
Na.
Does not.
Does not.
Tusheta.
Tusheta.
Be pleased.
Be pleased.
Manye.
Manye.
I think.
I think.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Darshanam.
Darshanam.
Philosophy.
Philosophy.
Kilam.
Kilam.
Inferior.
Inferior.
Translation. Sri Narada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The eternal relation of the individual soul with the Supreme Soul Personality of Godhead is constitutionally part of being the eternal servitor of the Master, the eternal Master. The Lord has expanded Himself as living beings in order to accept loving service from them. And this alone can satisfy both the Lord and the living beings. Such a scholar as Vyasadeva has completed many expansions of the Vedic literatures, ending with the Vedanta Sutra philosophy. But none of them have been written directly glorifying the personality of Godhead. Dry philosophical speculations, even on the transcendental subject of the Absolute, have very little attraction without directly dealing with the glorification of the Lord. The personality of Godhead is the last word in transcendental realization. The absolute realized as impersonal Brahman or localized supersoul, Paramatma, is less productive of transcendental bliss than the supreme personal realization of His glories. The compiler of the Vedanta Darshan is Vyasadeva Himself. Yet he is troubled, although he is the author. So what sort of transcendental bliss can be derived by the readers and listeners of Vedanta, which is not explained directly by Vyasadeva, the author? Herein arises the necessity of explaining Vedanta Sutra in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam by the self-same author. Om Agyanti Maranda Shya Gananjaran Chalakaya Chakshur Kundalitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jema Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadanti Swapadantakam Bhaja Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Deva Chapati Tanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'm going to say the verse and you can repeat. Sri Narada said,
Sri Narada said,
you have not actually broadcast.
You have not actually broadcast.
The sublime and spotless glories, of the personality of Godhead.
That
philosophy, which does not satisfy the transcendental senses
of the Lord,
is considered worthless. Narada's kind of laying it right on the line. He's not beating around the bush, you see. And we need to hear this. Sometimes we may hear this and we think, I know that, you see. But we need to hear this again and again and again, because we may sit here and say it and we think, I fully understand. And as soon as we walk away, we'll start off on who knows what type of subject matter. You see, we have a tendency do that, you know. So there are some things we must talk about just to get through the day. You know, we must talk about It's just like there was a dust storm in Phoenix when I was up there, so people were talking about that. You know, don't go out at a certain time, don't travel at this time. So we talk about things like that. If there's heavy rains or heat, high heat index, we discuss these things, you know, to help us through the day. But when it comes to philosophies, those philosophies that don't satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord, you see, we're attempting to satisfy the senses of Krishna. We want to satisfy his senses. And as we've said so many times before, that kind of flies in the face of material thought, you know. Because the immediate reaction when I say, your only purpose is to satisfy God's senses, somewhere in the back of your mind there's a little voice that says, what about me? What about my senses? Okay, I agree to satisfy Krishna's senses. Why don't we get around to me? You know? See. So, how do we satisfy our senses? Our senses need to be satisfied too, don't they? How can our senses be satisfied if we spend all our time satisfying Krishna's senses? How does that work?
They're automatically satisfied.
They're automatically satisfied. When Krishna's senses are satisfied, our senses are satisfied. The devotee offers everything to Krishna. The devotees enjoy, you know, some people say they think the devotees are depriving themselves. And then other people may come here and they say, well, you guys are enjoying higher than anybody else. You're talking about this sense gratification. Look at the life you guys have. To the materialists, they don't understand. We offer everything to Krishna. Everything. So, it's just like we may offer some nice incense to Krishna. And then now we're smelling that incense. We offer nice foodstuffs to Krishna and then we take that foodstuff. You see, he wants us to take... He wants us to enjoy. It's a reciprocal situation. He wants our senses to be gratified. But we're gratified really just by the offering. You see? If Krishna ate everything that we put on the altar, then we could probably get by on a sandwich or something. We'd be just fine. You know, we'd say some prayer or whatever. We'd have to eat something. But we would be very happy if Krishna ate everything. That would be good. You see, he can do that if he wants. But he decides, no, let me share with you. I have become the offering. I've actually eaten it by glancing at it. As soon as I see it, and I taste the love and devotion that was put into preparing it, now I have consumed it, and I have become the offering. You offer him a stick of incense, Krishna becomes the stick of incense. You offer him a flower, he becomes that flower. You know, when we pass around the flower, and we smell it. The flowers that are offered to Krishna are sacred. You see, the ghee lamp is sacred. That's why we touch the flame to our head, you know. So, the devotee strives constantly to satisfy Krishna. We want Krishna to be happy and satisfied. And that makes us satisfied. So, as I said, that's a little backward to the material philosophy. Material philosophy is, what about me? When do I get mine? You see, I deserve this and I deserve that. You know, I'm a good Republican and a good God-fearing man. So I deserve my rights. I've got my rights. You know, a lot in America, people have so many rights and they're always... You know, they're always wanting more, but they have so many rights. In other countries, you don't have such rights, you know. In most of the countries of the world, you do not have the right to remain silent. And anything that we say you said, and we'll hold up in front of the court of law, you are not entitled to an attorney. None of these. You know, not, it's just like people complain. You know, I heard there was some complaining a couple of years ago, especially in Arizona, about the racial profiling. You know, because they wanted to be able to ask for identification, proof of citizenship. you see. And people were, you know, only in America, maybe Canada, would this happen. But people were so upset. Because you're racially profiling me? How dare you? You know, well, I'd just come back from India, and I was racially profiled everywhere I went. You know, I couldn't check into a hotel without showing my passport and giving them a copy of it to keep on file. You can't get on an airplane without showing your passport. It's a white face. I see you and I think, you're not from here? Do you have papers? Isn't that fair? I mean, you can't. There's so many things you can't do. You got to show that passport. So I always take a few extra copies of my passport because they want copies in monoprint. So I give them a copy, you know. You know, so I'm being racially profiled, aren't I? And I feel so bad about it. You know. So, rights. I want my rights. It's all about me. What about me? I deserve. I'm special. I'm an American. I'm a Caucasian American. You know, and you better move out of my way. That's our thinking, you know. But it's not just the Americans. It's the whole world thinks like that. What about me? I'm special. You should look out for. Somebody should be looking out for me. Not realizing that the Supreme Lord has always been looking out for us. Krishna's always taking care of us. I mean, it says here that the Supreme Lord, Prabhupada says in the purport, Krishna expanded as the living entities. You see, we are an expansion of Krishna. Well, why would he not take care of us? What makes you think that there is any care needed to be taken of us? We're eternal living entities. We're eternal parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. We're made of the same stuff as he is. If you analyzed us under a microscope and him under a microscope, you could find out, you know, the DNA is, it's the same. You cannot tell the difference. Yet we have our individuality, you see. So nothing can happen to us. All these bodies need help. We pray for help with our body. You know, we take yoga and work out and exercise our bodies and diet properly, do our best, medicate ourselves, whatever we need to keep the body. But as far as us, we have nothing to worry about. We have no fear whatsoever. We are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. He expanded to make us. You see? So, being part and parcel of, well, people say, why? Why did he do that? Why did he expand to make me and all the rest of us? You see? So that we could offer loving devotional service. Is it because he wanted servants? Is that why? Is it maybe the immigration laws are too heavy in the local Vrindavan? There's not enough people to do minimum wage work. So that's why we're looking for people to come and serve Krishna. Is that it? You know? No. Krishna knows that you will delight by serving him. He knows that I am delightful. You see? And I want you to serve me so that I can serve you in return. I want to have a reciprocal relationship. It's not one-sided, not that we come and serve him and he's take, and we're give. It's not that type of relationship. It's a reciprocal relationship. And in our current state, we have stopped it. Not all of you. All of you are serving Krishna, but the typical living entity, they've ceased to perform their function. They're not a part of the situation as it should be. They're not serving Krishna. You see. They're not performing their activity of satisfying him by offering him love. Now, some people may argue, well, yes, I do. I love him and I You know, I say a prayer every day. You know, I don't go to the temple every day like you guys, but I say a prayer every day. You know, I ask him for my daily bread. I ask him to take care of my car. I'd ask him to cut the grass if he had a lawnmower. You know, I'm trying so hard to engage him in my loving devotional service, you know. Give me my daily bread. First thing I want. Good morning, God. How are you? Where's the bread? Srila Prabhupada says, you're asking God for daily bread. Daily bread is there. It's there for all living entities. Prabhupada said like that. The birds, the squirrels, why do we think we're not taken care of? Why do we have to ask him? Why don't we start out by saying, good morning, my dear Lord, here is your daily bread. I have baked it for you. I hope you enjoy. You see? That is the function of spiritual life. Material life is gimme. Gimme, gimme. No. Put it right there, Lord. Yes.
But aren't most people praying for material comfort?
Yes.
And freedom from pain and mm-hmm. suffering, but everything is still on the body level.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's very common. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just not saying it's not on the bhakti level. The bhakti level, I mean, there are different levels of spiritual life. So, on the kanishta level, we're always asking, and I'm complaining, I need this and I want that, for me, for me, for me. And after all, I'm performing worship. I'm going to the temple. Why shouldn't I be taken care of? Give me, you know. I remember one time my sister invited me to go to her church. She's a church, either Church of God or Church of Christ. I don't remember what. So I went and I found it interesting, you know. She always, whenever I get around her, she'll want me to go to church with her. And I enjoy it, you know. But I found it interesting at the end, they had these, I don't know what they call, maybe you know, do you know, what are they, where they pray? There's a prayer request. You know, there's like several of them. And they were like, one of them was, I want you to pray for, you know, my cousin. He broke his foot and he's in the hospital. And I want you to pray for my, aunt's family. They're traveling back from Tennessee to Chicago. And so they prayed, you know. For that one, I remember the prayer. Oh, Lord, ride in the car. You know. Ride with them. And I'm thinking, boy, I'm telling you, that's not a fun ride, to ride from Tennessee to Chicago. It's 8-9 hours. And I'm saying, I want you to ride too, you know. Ride in that car. Get in there. You know. And I hope we don't have to stop so you can go to the bathroom a lot or something. Hope you don't eat a lot, but I want you to ride in the car. I'm thinking, boy, that just sounds so impersonal. I want you to ride. You know, we wouldn't ask somebody we love to do something uncomfortable. You know, that's just an uncomfortable thing. I thought that was kind of funny, you know. But the number of things that they were, you know, do this, do this, do this, do this. Not one person. What can I do for you? You see. Now, that is a representation of spiritual life. It's kanishta, but it's better than not thinking of God. Trying to engage God as your servant is better than not thinking of Him at all. Or going around professing that He doesn't exist. You see. There is no afterlife. So you should grab all the enjoyment you can in this life. Because when death comes, it's just finished. There is no God, there is no afterlife, you know, like that. It's better than that. But how do we compare it to the bhakti level? How can it even... I mean, it's not in the same league, you see. Because the bhaktis, They're trying to say to Krishna, my dear Lord, please engage me in your loving devotional service. The devotee's always wondering. We spend a lot of our time wondering, does Krishna want me to do that? I've got this idea to do this. Does Krishna, is that what he wants? Oh, Krishna, please show me what you want. Should I do this? Should I do that? You know, should I get a place far from the temple and close to the university and use it as a preaching? Or should we get closer to the, you know, oh, come on, help me, you know. I don't have an opinion. You know, sometimes people say, well, what do you want to go? I don't want to go with what I want. I'm trying to figure out what's the best thing to do for my spiritual life, and that means to please Krishna, to please Guru and Krishna. I don't want to look back and say, well, why did you do that? Why didn't you do this? That would be better for your preaching or for your service, you see. The devotee wants to do whatever he can to enhance his service. He wants to enhance what he does for Krishna, you see. He doesn't think about, well, but I need to, and I want, and I want, and I prefer. It's kind of like, you know, if Krishna gets you into a corner, sometimes you have to say, well, all right, I prefer this one over that one. Sometimes Krishna will get you to make a decision, you know. But the devotee spends most of his time. How much time do we spend trying to figure out what is it? What does Krishna want? Okay, we got choice A, B, or C. Wonder which one he wants. You see, not like, oh, I prefer that. You know, the devotee, after a while, he gets out of the habit of thinking, well, I prefer. You know, I prefer. If it gets down to both of the same, then okay, I prefer this one. You know, they look like they'll serve Krishna the same way. You know, I'll make some choice. You see. So, the devotee is always speaking philosophy that will please the Supreme Lord. Praising the Lord pleases him. This is what Vyasadeva has left out. He left it out, and Narada is pointing it out. This is why you're not feeling satisfied. Why? Because you haven't satisfied Krishna. If you had put praise of the Supreme Lord in what you had compiled, Krishna would be pleased. And you would be pleased, therefore. If you please Krishna, you would be pleased. You see? It's pleasing to us to hear the praises of the Lord. It's pleasing to Him. You see? So we have to watch this philosophy. It says, that philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. So we avoid talking about any type of philosophy. If it doesn't please the Lord, what's the use of it? You see? If it does, then we can sing it all day and all night. But if it doesn't please Krishna, then we don't need to go there. There's so much energy being spent right now on by devotees as well, you know, so much. All the conspiracies that are going on. You know, the drug companies are conspiring, the government's conspiring, they're all conspiring, they're all out to get us. You know? They want to kill off the population. I mean, it's a different one every day. I don't know who the they, who is the they? Who are these bad guys that, you know, and why are we spending any time? I was not even so much. Why are we spending any time listening to it? You see, of course there are conspiracies. There's always been conspiracies. Yes.
Yeah, you know? Time magazine had a magazine they printed just on that topic. Who the they is, the Illuminati, and who these rich families are that we're all serving. They came up with a special issue for like $9, and you could find out who the they is.
Who is the they?
It is rich families like the Gettys and the Rothschilds and just families throughout history who have tried to take over financial control of the world. That was, I mean, I just looked at it in the grocery store. Yeah. But that was, you know, how the conspiracy theories get started.
It gets started from them.
I found it funny. I mean, I just, yeah. And they meet together in certain places in the world, and they have these conferences, and they talk about how to control the human population.
Yeah, like that's working.
Yeah, like that's working.
No, but it's the industrial military complex. I mean, they would like for the countries to be at odds with each other, fight, engage, and that's how they make their money and their profit. Mm-hmm. If everybody was peaceful and praying to Krishna, there would be no war.
There would be no war, and business wouldn't be very good.
Yeah, that's it. Money wouldn't be flowing.
I remember during the Vietnam War, people were saying, oh, this is a terrible war, we hate this war. But boy, the economy was really good.
Yeah.
You know, I was working for this one company that part of what they made household appliances. But part of what they did was they made ammunition for the government. Wow. And the government was eating up so much of it that the stock was through the roof, and you know, it was all kind of, the company was just cash rich. They had all this money. So, you know, they were saying, gee, what's too bad about the war, but it's kind of nice, you know, in a way. This money is great. So, yeah, you can always, if you follow the money, you'll find the reason for everything. Whatever, no matter what it is, look for who's making the money, and you'll find the reason. You know, the Vaishyas have been in control since. And they're not even good Vaishyas. God, Vaishyas protect cows, but these are business people. This happened.
They're eating cows.
They're eating. They're Vaishyas that are eating cows. They should be protecting, but they're business people. It's just like, why is anybody surprised? Because the Vaishyas, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, these folks, they wanted to keep more of their money. So they decided that we're going to fight the king and take this country away from him. So for the first time, the Vaishyas overthrew the monarchy. They overthrew the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriyas were in. The Kshatriyas were ages before, they would take advice and direction from the Brahmins. Well, that went away. So then the Vaishyas took over. And since 1776... That's been the thing. It's just the Vaishyas get more and more. I say Vaishya, I use that term loosely.
Yeah.
Business people have been able to take over. Everything in the world is based on, as they say in Texas, business. Business. Boy, you follow the money. Look for the money trail, and you'll find out why wars are fought and find out who does what. And it's for business. It's to keep people productive, so that they want the products that are on the shelves and the services have to be bought by somebody. So they want you to be employed and give you money, because you'll throw it right back at them. The more they give you, the more you'll throw at them. They know that. It works, especially in America. Americans know they're not really big on saving money. You know, in Asia, they like to save money. You know, Indians and all over Asia, they're very good at saving. But you get into Europeans and Americans, Americans especially. And as a matter of fact, not only do I not save, I spend more than I make. You know, I always live above my means, because there's so much here. So, when we start passing around these philosophies of conspiracy theories, yes, there's a conspiracy. There are always conspiracies. There always have been. There always will be conspiracies. But they don't have anything to do necessarily with that. And even if we find out about them, what are we going to do? Probably, let me see, I don't know. Oh yeah, chant Hare Krishna. You see? Let's go on with what we do under the protection of Krishna. Let's spread it. Let's spread this movement. We don't have time. It's just like there was a judge. I've told you this before, but I think I have anyway. Jagwe Tomaraj told me this joke about conspiracy theorists. You know, two guys are out in a boat fishing, and this one guy is a conspiracy theorist, and he's telling the other guy that, yeah, there were like five or six people involved in the Kennedy assassination. George Bush blew up the World Trade Center, and Dick Cheney, and all these coming off with all these conspiracy theories. And the guy said, well, come on. The other guy said, how could that possibly be? You know, how could they cover up something like that? And the guy said, because these conspiracies go all the way to the top. And about that time, a big wave came and knocked the boat over, and they both drowned. And so here they are in heaven. And God is there, and he says, hey, welcome, you know, welcome to heaven. Jesus, sorry you died, but here you are. And, you know, just so you know everything, you probably have a lot of questions, but I was listening in on the conversation just before you guys died. And, no, there was one person, one gun that killed Kennedy, and George Bush and Dick Cheney did not blow up the World Trade Center. And the one conspiracy theorist turns to the other guy and he said, you see what I told you? The conspiracies go all the way to the top. And if you disagree, then you're part of it. You're part of the conspiracy. So my whole point is, why are we wasting our time with this? It's just fun. It's just something interesting to do, an interesting waste of time. Yes, Paul, did you have a question?
Yeah, on that topic, I mean, basically, it's always a world out of fear, also. Because if you look at when at that time frame, like Bush was going through the, like, everyone was orange, yellow, green levels, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The terrorists, and every time it would go to orange level, they were showing companies that were, it was interesting, that they would make, like, for that week, $100 million plus based on people's fear. I mean, that goes all the way back. In the time, whether it was Christianity, you know, we rule out of fear, you know, the fear to control. Where does, you know, in this aspect, to pull away from all that, you know, in using Krishna? You know, what I've noticed is it seems like you were saying this yesterday, where, you know, you go from Ozzie and Harriet to today, where it's literally everything at the fingertips, you know, from advertising, you know, from websites to everything. So today, I think, like you said, the kids are smarter, but at the same time, they're also more dangerous. At the same time, they've gotten more violent. There's not the respect factor for the elders anymore. There's just kind of, it is a me society.
And, yeah.
You know, literally, I'm walking around with me, my Facebook, my page, my this, you know.
MySpace.
Yeah.
My Twitter.
Yes. So, I mean, they are open, which I would say, you know, people are open, but it's like, what am I getting out of it? Just what, like...
What's in it for me? What's in it? That's the material contamination. Self-interest. What's in it for me? You see. Prabhupada says self-interest is the poison. That is the poison. When I'm looking out for I, me, and mine.
Yeah, it's a, you know, I was reading, I was looking on MSN, and looking at the weather, and I'm looking at this football player, he's being charged with murder. Here's a guy who plays for the Patriots, you know, big football team, he's a tight end, went to University of Florida, because he thinks he was untouchable. I mean, they've got him connected now, I mean, point blank, you know, killed three people.
Really?
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's just like, you know, I'm this great guy. And the sad part, here's the craziest thing. The Patriots say that this is where you can look at society and say, turn his jersey in. We'll give you somebody else's jersey. Well, they put it on eBay. People are paying on eBay. People are paying top dollar for this murderer's jersey. I mean, it's just, you can see where the society's going.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, people, things are very different now because of the I, me, and mine philosophy. You see, now we have to actually have, we have to have fundraising drives to feed the hungry. we didn't used to have to do that. You know, people took care of people just because, just if they needed, if there were needy people. There weren't dead people in the streets from starving to death, from neglect. You see, the roads were built in the early United States. The people who made money donated enough money to the government to keep things going. There was no income tax until, what was it, 1939 or something like one of you know, early 1900s. There was no income tax, so. But the country did extremely well. Went to war, you see. There was nobody dying of hunger. People were fed. There was so much charity. There's always been charity. So there became a little bit of a necessity for it as people started up this I need mine, stingy attitude. And then we saw that, ooh, there's money to be made in charity, because if I manage this drive or that drive or this fund or that fund, I get to keep a certain percentage. Legally, it's legal. Keep a certain percentage for my cost and for my income. So it's very common. You know, how much money, like the United Fund or the people who want, you know, the people who have this starving little child in South America or India, they have a starving child. And for $30 a month or whatever, you can see that little Jose has clean water or whatever, you see. Well, how much really gets to this child? You know, who knows? So enough, they keep it enough to stay legal. I remember when we were doing paintings in Dallas in the 1980s. The Dallas Temple was doing paintings. And we asked the Red Cross if we could, you know, how can we, you know, can we collect for you, you know? And can we use you that we're collecting for the Red Cross or Boy Scouts or some one of those, I forget who it was, so on, some big national charity. And we felt like if we could say that we're collecting for the Red Cross or for whatever, that people would be more charitable. And they were. But they had no specification on how much we had to give them. We started giving them like, you know, 7 or 8% of what we took in. You know, 7 to 10%. Sometimes we'd give them 10%. And we're any minute we're thinking, oh my God, they're gonna be here trying to say, what are you doing with all this money that you're collecting? They didn't keep it, nobody kept any records, they didn't ask for anything. So what happened is we got a call one day from the charity, and they said we're having our annual fundraiser on television, and you guys are one of our biggest donors, and we'd like you to come on TV and accept a reward.
Nice.
And here we're given like 7-10%, and they're treating us like we're kings, like we're the most charitable people in the world. And they're praising like everything. And so here it is on TV. We sent Maturna's wife, Mother Leela, you know, she accepted the reward of the award and on television. And, you know, and they're saying, oh, but they didn't know we were the Hare Krishnas. They didn't know we were, you know, we kept that secret. We were.
What did you portray yourself as? Just a charitable group?
No, we were. Let's see, what was the name of the House of Art? We formed a business, the House of Art.
House of Art.
And we our business was to sell paintings.
Yeah.
And we decided that we wanted to give and share our income with the Red Cross. And so we thought we were scamming them by giving just a few percentage points. But they loved it, you know, so much that they thought we were incredibly generous. So from that I realized, you know, what's really going on out there. You know? So there's a lot of... That charity is a good business. You know, anything that's popular is a good business. There's not much done that's very promoted that doesn't bring in some dinero for somebody. You see? say, there's money there. So the people who are doing these charity things, they're collecting, you know, bazillions of dollars. And some of it actually gets to the cause, but nowhere near as much as we think, because we're attracted by the money. You see. Yes, Paul?
It's funny you say that. GoPro and I were doing bicycles, and we built these bikes for charities. One was for the Breast Cancer Foundation, and the other one was for Lance Armstrong, the Livestrong Foundation. And I'd gone out to a triathlete, and there was a girl who was she was quadriplegic, who was, you know, I was looking at the bike that she had. She was swimming, basically cycling with her hands, so she could be in there. And we were just trying to figure out how to go faster. So we looked at the, bike and trying to come up with some ideas. And I proposed this to one of the bike companies, and they said there was only 300,000 quadriplegics in the world that were involved in triathlons. And they said there wasn't enough of them to make enough money to do it. It's sad to me because, you know, you look at the bicycles and they go, well, we can't do this because of that. Not because they're making all this money, And these bikes, this girl's like, something would come up, because she was paying like $4,000 to $5,000 for this one bike. And then, I'm looking at that, I'm like, wow, we can, make it carbon fiber, make it faster, change some of the stuff.
Not a big enough market.
Not a big enough market. Yeah. That's what was said. It was actually by three of the top cycling companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It all gets down to fitness. So, it's just like the health fads. There's always a health fad. Mm-hmm. Eat more of this. Stop eating that and eat this instead. And, and if you, it's because there's business. It's very difficult to find the truth in this age. The only truth is chanting Hare Krishna. Become an eternal servitor of the Lord. To offer all your energy to serving Krishna. That's the only truth. The rest of it in this material world is just, how can I make some profit off of it? Not that they're mean and nasty. That's what makes the world tick. Everybody needs profit. Everybody needs to get a hold of a few dollars or a few rupees or whatever. You see? So, and if I have to do that, then sometimes I might have to lie. I might have to mislead you, because I need to keep the dollars flowing. So that's the nature of the world. So if we want the truth, if we want to be dealt with in a truthful manner, then we have to deal with those who are chanting Hare Krishna and trying to save the fallen conditioned souls. You see, That's the only truth. Some people say, well, no, how can that be? How can that be the only truth? Service to God is what makes things real. You see? Because that is my eternal constitutional position, servant of God. So the only true, real activity is service to God. Other than that, there is no real activity. Now, you can do activities, but it's not real. You see. Real action means to use some energy to serve God. If you're not serving God, it's practically speaking not even happening. It's just this microphone actually, in reality, doesn't even exist unless it's being used to serve Krishna. The purpose of everything is to be used in Krishna's service. That's the only real activity. You see? Anything else is not real. It's illusory. There's no one else to serve but Krishna. God is the one who receives all the service. You see? There is no one to serve. Now we may try to serve ourselves or whatever, but it's ludicrous, you see. The only real activity is activity used to serve the Supreme. Everything else is useless. So, all right, what do you say we wrap it up? Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.